Hi, this is Barry List of Informs, and you're listening to Informs Today. This is our last podcast of 2014, and we're already thinking about the year ahead. Analytics remains front and center in our minds, and we wonder what 2015 will bring. To discuss five trends he expects to break in the coming year is Glenn Wegrim. Glenn is well known in the analytics world and at Informs. For many years, he headed up the operations research slash quantitative modeling department at Procter & Gamble. And since retiring from P&G, he's become a principal at the consulting firm Analytic Impact. He also serves as president of the Informs Analytics section. Glenn, welcome.
Thanks, Barry.
Let's start with your trend number one, which you call What's in a Name. Tell us what needs to be resolved about the definition of analytics and what the different factions are when it comes to discussing this topic.
I think it's interesting because I've tried to think of a number of different analogies to use to describe this. I think of Democrats and Republicans, but I'm not quite sure that's the right fit or not. But I tend to think that there's the camp of analysts who come from a data-centric environment. And either that's an IT or that is a deeply statistical-based organization or background. And the natural tendency is, I have data, what interesting insights and information might we be able to glean from it to better predict or anticipate what might happen? On the other side is what I'd call more the decision-centric analyst who begins with understanding what is the business problem that needs to be solved and then what are the right methodologies that then leads to what's the right information that's necessary in order to solve the very specific problem that's been defined. So I look at those as being the two different camps. They tend to come out of different organizational backgrounds. And I do strongly believe that each need each other for different purposes. And the more that we can come together on a very singular definition of analytics and a framework that helps support both sides only makes it easier for people who are in the position of deciding, do I need this analytics capability or not? And if so, what's the most effective way that I can use it and apply it within my decision-making space?
So trend number one then is this kind of face-off. It's not a huge either-or face-off, but it's these two views of analytics and how they resolve their different views.
That's right.
Trend number two in your analysis is that business analytics programs in universities will continue to grow. What are you seeing and what do you think is coming down the pike for on the educational side, preparing the business analytics expert of tomorrow?
Well, I think first off, just the trend itself is amazing. 5 years ago or 4 years ago, there were less than a handful of programs that either coined or utilized the concept of business analytics, which it's bridging, again, the decision-making, the information, and the business environment together. There were really only a few of them in the U.S. Just a few years ago. And just the explosive growth of those programs in the last few years, and again, I recently saw some research that indicated that right now there are over 100 business schools that are offering business analytics programs that are, again, fusing together the deep analytical, the data-centric, and the business environment capabilities together and offering that. And business schools or learning institutions in general don't just offer up these types of programs on a whim. It's usually because they're being directed and given some indication that there's great value out in the public, both from a research standpoint as well as from hiring graduates of these programs, and that they will find productive and highly valued positions and careers.
This is a bellwether of what's coming ahead.
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, they are listening. They're listening well. They're fashioning the right types of programs. I think some programs are just really outstanding in mixing together a combination of the right depth of curriculum, but also the experiential part of it as well, too. And I think that's what creates a very powerful and very desirable capability out of these business schools.
And I would add that INFORMS is aware of the growth of these programs, and we're doing things to reach out to them and document them and make it easier for students and employers to find the program that's right for them, and for those teaching it to find the best ways of teaching it. And I think over the next year, INFORMS will be making some announcements about that. But turning back to your trends, trend number three on your list drills down on what happens when anything becomes popular. Bad people try to take advantage. What have been the data breaches that caught your attention in the past year, and how will analytics impact fraud and security, your third topic, the services surrounding fraud and security in the coming year?
Well, I think my concerns are similar to anyone else who's been listening to the media, and that these very popular consumer-centric retailers and other organizations whose data environment has been breached causes, you know, extreme concern and anxiety. Again, I was thinking about this a little bit more earlier today, that I think the media in general has been reasonably responsible in reporting this, because I do believe this is a massive problem and of great concern. I think the media has been playing a very fair hand in representing and reporting what has happened in some of these organizations and the breaches around them. But I think by the same token, they have not been trying to incite panic. I can tell you, when I heard about the Sony Pictures breach, my first gut reaction was to run down to the bank, because
really?
if they can get into an organization like Sony or some of the other retailers that easily, and the belief that other infrastructure-related areas are particularly vulnerable, boy, I sure would like to put a little cash under the mattress just as a safeguard.
And what do you think? What do you think that analytics people will be able to bring to the table to help with security?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. I think there's a lot of places that can contribute to here. I've seen some wonderful examples of utilizing statistical predictive methods of identifying potential fraudulent activity that's taking place within a network. I think...
So that's early identification.
Absolutely. I think there are ways that optimization and mathematical modeling can be used to help better design infrastructure in terms of layers of security, number of redundant systems, location of those systems. I think there's quite a bit that can be done in that space. I think the interesting thing is, I do think that there's going to be a lot of analytical work that's going to take place in this area. I believe we're probably going to hear only a fraction of where it's being applied and how it's being applied, because this is an area where, you know, the bad guys are playing for keeps. And the rules are not, there are very few rules. And so the protocols and the methodologies that you design to help to combat this, I think becomes very tightly controlled intellectual property.
So we want to keep our cards close at hand so that others who might hack us don't find out what we're doing.
Exactly.
Let's turn to trend number four, what you call collaboration and communication. And it centers on the soft skills that technical experts in analytics are asked to develop. What will be their importance in the year ahead? I know it's been a big topic among people in our profession for a while.
Well, I think it's going to make the difference in a candidate being hired or not hired. I do strongly believe that. But let me preface that as well with saying that, at least in my experience, when I hired analysts in the organizations that I've run, the technical competence is non-negotiable. That is the base. That's sort of where the initial bar is set, and you have to have the technical capability to bring to the table. You have to have the depth in mathematics. You have to have the depth in statistical knowledge, be able to deal with quantitative problems. No question about that. But I think what's going to make the difference in someone being hired is the soft skills and how much they're paying attention to developing their ability to communicate effectively, make a convincing argument, present themselves well, be able to think quickly on their feet, and be able to talk in a language that the people who are basically buying their analysis can understand and act on effectively.
And I assume they need to make this visual also so that the people they're presenting to can see what they're saying.
I think pictures can relay 1,000 words, and the more effective you use graphical images to represent what you're trying to convey, that can certainly help in the area of more effective communication.
Finally, trend number five, certification. Over the last year, Inform strengthened its CAP certification in analytics program. What do you see ahead for those contemplating getting certification?
Well, I think I recently heard, and this is just this week, that major consulting companies, and my understanding is almost 20% of the top Fortune 100 companies have been looking for individuals who have CAP certification as part of their resume. That is speaking loudly to a buying public, people who are hiring individuals in this analytic space, and wanting some comfort to know that the person that they are hiring and bringing in their organization has some qualifications that have been independently vetted. And I think the CAP program does that and brings that level of confidence to the hiring manager for these individuals.
So I think, if you were back at a company like P&G and you were doing hiring, you would find it useful to know that somebody had certification?
Yeah, I would not say that it would be the only criteria that would differentiate one individual from another, but it would certainly play very well in my consideration on a hire.
Final question. When we get together next year at this time to contemplate the year 2016, do you think analytics will still have the important role it does now?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I honestly think we are more on the beginning of our journey than anywhere near the end of it.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Glenn Wegren, principal at the consulting firm Analytic Impact and president of the Informs Analytics section. Glenn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Informs Today, a podcast by the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. For more information about analytics, operations research, and a series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.